Like every Monday night, you're checking out Breakfast Soup Raw.
Enjoy as Don Tony spills the soup about pro wrestling, sports, news, and pop culture. Breakfast Soup Raw.
Breakfast Soup Raw.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
You know, ever since I arrived here, I've aligned myself with people who keep bringing me down. I am done dealing with disappointments. That was Rhea Ripley tonight on Raw. Gotcha! Good evening, everybody. It is Monday night, April 25th. 2022. I am here. You know, yeah, the template hasn't changed yet. The intro has to change, but one thing stays constant. I am here for all of you. Breakfast Soup Raw, hosted by yours truly. And I got to tell you, I thought tonight was a great episode of Raw. Might have been one of my favorite. Well, it was one of my favorites of 2022. It might be my favorite Raw for 2022. I mean, let's not forget, we had some great episodes of Raw leading into WrestleMania. Once Mania happened, the Raws really seemed to be quite lackluster, but we had a couple of returns tonight. Oh, I have a lot to say tonight about one in particular that interrupted Miz TV. Now, if you saw Raw tonight, you know who I'm talking about. I thought it was quite underwhelming, to be honest with you. I guess Knoxville, Tennessee, were not part of the Free Ali movement, because when he came out there, you would have thought it was main event. And I don't mean 10:58 p.m. I was surprised. I was very surprised. But then again, I'm not surprised. I don't want to jump ahead. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But tonight, I got to open up again. And I'm sorry for doing this 2 weeks in a row, but I got to open up with Tammy Sitch. Because, you know, look, I have obviously been covering this for quite some time now. I thought I have been very fair. And what I said, when criticism and much worse is warranted, I will definitely be there. I will not do it just to appease people. But something transpired this weekend that totally blew me away. And I got to share with you. And, man, I don't even know how to react to this. Okay, for those that don't know. All right, Tammy posted a tweet over the weekend. And I'm going to show you the tweet. And I'm going to show you one person's response in return. And I want you to, while we talk about what Tammy said, I want you then afterwards to think about the person that confronted her. And this is like one of the biggest problems of Twitter. I don't care if Elon Musk owns it. I don't care if Santa Claus, I don't care if I own it. Twitter is just filled with toxic cesspool pussies, wimps, snowflakes, and all of us. Because we don't fit any of those categories. There's a lot of good people there. And that's why I stay there. Because at the end of the day, all of you that are watching this right now with good intentions, you're why I do what I do. I don't make excuses for it. I'm here. I'm not, you know, the best person in the world. And I'm not perfect. And I make a lot of mistakes. And I could be a douchebag at times. But, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, my intentions are good, as with all of you. But anyway, let's talk about Tammy. So Tammy posts a tweet over the weekend, and basically she says in the beginning, like, look, why do you follow me? Like, if you have a problem, why do you even... I'll let you see her words. She writes over the weekend, for those on audio only, question for all, why follow me and others? Just to write nasty comments and derogatory remarks. Is your life that fucking boring? Can't you think of something else to do? like assemble Legos or dress like Star Wars characters? Doesn't it show your insecurities? So that's what she said over the weekend. So I see this guy, the bird, I don't even know how to pronounce that. He writes back to her, and when I saw it, I was like, okay, he's got a couple of stones. You know, he's asking a legit question. He says, question for you, Tammy. How fast were you going when you slammed into the poor old guy, stopped at the traffic light, and killed him? His life ended for what reason? Were you on your way to a fire or drunk or high? Minga, takes a lot of balls to say that. Well, we'll get back to him in a little bit. Her response to this guy is, 10 since I was slowing down to the light, but he had a heart attack. Nothing to do with my seizure. She actually claimed that she was going 10 miles an hour when she hit the vehicle and the guy died as a result of a heart attack. I don't know if she has hired legal counsel or if she just doesn't give a fuck. But whoever her legal counsel is, you got to get her off Twitter. Just like Kimberly and others that are dealing with some legal issues. Hers a little different, obviously, a bitter divorce. But you can't put stuff like that out there. 10 miles an hour, everyone. Now, look, because it's confidential, even TMZ has not released it. You know, I cannot get my hands on pictures of the actual vehicles that were in this auto accident. But I have looked. Be nice if I take that off the TV. I'm like looking at the camera. I'm like, they can't even see my face. I have the police report. And, you know, I don't know if any of you out there ever had to fill out a police report. Here in New York, it's called an MV-104. But, you know, when they ask you questions, you know, what time of day? Was it daylight? You write number one. Was the road dry? You write number one. Like, everything has an answer to it. And when the police speculated that she was intoxicated, police said that she was driving at a high rate of speed. Witnesses there that were on television in Florida said it was one of the worst accidents they had ever seen. Yes, you could Google it. You could see it for yourself. And when I read the police report and saw the description of the damage, remember, it wasn't just the impact of Tammy into that poor man's vehicle. It's also his vehicle pushed the vehicle in front of it. Chain reaction accident. So now I want to show you all something. This took me a little while to find, but she was driving a 2012 Mercedes. Now, whether it's an SUV or a compact car, two-door, four-door, sedan, coupe, whatever you want, the bumpers are all pretty much the same. Now, I'm not going to spend a whole history lesson here about bumpers and safety. I'm an insurance guy since 1998, so this is obviously second nature to me. But for those that don't know, up until, I believe, the 70s, if you had a bumper on your vehicle, it had to be safety rated that, I think it was 3 miles an hour, that, you know, it would be protected. Like, if you got into an accident, the bumper could absorb like 3 miles an hour before there's any significant damage. Or maybe it was 5 miles an hour. But for a lot of vehicles, especially when you get the higher end cars like Mercedes and others, the bumpers absorb a lot more than just 5 miles an hour. I got two video clips for you. These are 2013 Mercedes-Benz. The 2012 and the 2013 use the same bumpers. So I'm going to show you right now what the damage looks like when you are driving 25 miles an hour. Guys, the speed limit on that highway is, I think, 55 or 65. Yes, you slow down for a red light. When witnesses and the impact is so bad that everybody says she was driving at a high rate of speed, All right, let's say it was just 25 miles an hour. Guys, this is what collision looks like for a Mercedes. Don't forget the Mercedes. Look at the car in front. That's what the damage looks like when that Mercedes hits the vehicle in front of them doing 25 miles an hour. All right, look at the damage again. Now, if Tammy was only going 25, that is still quite a bit of damage to incur in a car. She claimed she was doing 10. Well, I'm going to show you now that same vehicle having an accident at 12 miles an hour. Now, let's pretend this is Tammy, and the vehicle in front of her is unfortunately the man who died. Let's see what kind of damage 12 miles an hour does to that car. Here it comes. Boop. Oh, look. He kissed it. Are you fucking kidding me? You mean to tell me no one out there calls that out and says, wait a minute. There ain't no fucking way you could cause that kind of damage, a chain reaction, $15,000, $20,000 plus in damage to the other vehicle at 10 miles an hour. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. And that's going to come back to bite her in the ass. Because all of these tweets and her pushing the OnlyFans, look, she has a right to make money. She has a right to keep a little sanity. Hey, look, she hasn't been charged with anything yet. Everyone, don't jump the gun. Not going to jump the gun just to satisfy some hungers out there. I'm not a Snickers bar. But it's coming. It's coming. There's a wrongful death lawsuit. And they're going to just show the frame of mind, brushing it off. He had a heart attack. Oh, boy. Now, let's get back to that guy. Remember the guy with the set of balls? You know, remember what he said? Question for you. How fast were you going when you slammed into the poor guy, stopped at a traffic light, and killed him? His life ended for what reason? Were you on your way to a fire or drunk or high? So Tammy responds to that guy and says, I was driving 10. I was slowing down. He had a heart attack and nothing to do with my seizure. So is she writing this off as a seizure? Okay. That guy, look what he said to her in response to that 10-mile-an-hour claim. This is exactly what's wrong with Twitter. He writes, I have been a fan of yours since your WWF debut. I comment out of frustration because of the bumpy road you have traveled. We all have our issues, and I wish the best for you. I will do better when I comment with a smiley face emoji. D-Baird, you have a bigger vagina than Tammy Sitch does. What a fucking gushy pussy loser backtracking snowflake. I love the guy below him that says, was this your therapy through Twitter? You know, you're saying you're going to do better when commenting? I fucking hate Twitter. I hate Discord. I hate Facebook. I hate that cesspool. Everybody's got to bring everybody down. And it's funny because they hate it when other people do it, but they do it 10 times worse themselves. Look at this shit. I will do better. Oh, my God. You know what should happen? Tammy should... Seriously, if she ever gets behind the wheel ever again and has an accident like that, she should run into his back. And she'll be like, oh, my God, Tammy, you know, I was stopped at a red light, but I should have been looking in my rearview mirror. I know you didn't see me, and you were probably intoxicated, and you were driving 65 miles an hour, and you ran into my back. But you know what? I should do better next time. If I see you approaching me up my ass, even though I have the right of way at a red light, I will move out of the way. I will hit the gas and go through the red light so you can proceed without interruption. Because I've been a fan of you since your WWF debut. The fuck out of here. Could you imagine if Tammy would have responded to him and said, thank you for doing that? You ever see that meme that with the guy, the cartoon character behind the computer, and there's semen all over the walls and the keyboard and the monitor? Trust me when I tell you, this guy was hoping to God that Kevin Consolo was not going to be the one to respond to him. He was hoping that Tammy was going to say, it's all good. In fact, here's 50% off my OnlyFans. He would have been... Fucking losers, my God. Holy shit. That's a legit holy shit chant. What's wrong with these people? I apologize for anybody on audio only. They probably were like, my ears, what the hell did you just do? My ears, my neck, my back, my pussy, and my crack. I'm in a good mood, obviously. We got to be in a good mood. We had a good episode of Raw. We got a good show. We got a good crowd tonight. What a crowd. What a crowd. All right. Let's talk about a couple of other things. Okay, so we got the Tammy Sitch stuff out of the way. Tonight we had Mustafa Ali make his return. We had Asuka make her return. And if you've been tuning into the shows, you know that WWE was holding off until after WrestleMania for Asuka because there was no storyline. There was no storyline to just interject her into WrestleMania. Okay, let's pencil her in somewhere. Let's pencil her in somewhere. Maybe we could put her in the Andrea the Giant Battle Royal. No, there was nothing. They waited till after Mania. That's what happens every year. There's a few people that unfortunately don't get something on Mania. And they waited till afterwards. So she returned tonight. Becky Lynch made her return tonight. And as we expected, as we wanted, she came back looking dejected. She was extremely depressed about not having her title. And then she is interrupted by Asuka. And... you know, I tell you, I love that you're going to have Asuka and Becky Lynch having something going because their history, they actually work great together. You know, the storyline, if you remember when Becky Lynch gave Asuka the championship, you know, a lot of people, I think, forget that aspect of the storyline. Asuka's not the champion right now. So you really can't interject it that way. But if Asuka was the champion, then that's easy. Look, Asuka, I gave you the belt when I got pregnant. Now I come back to collect, you know, but we can't do that. Mustafa Ali, as we said earlier, made his return as well. And I want to say this right off the bat, and then we'll just run through Raw really quickly. It was great to see him return. I tell you, when I see his social media, when he's in the gym, I mean, he is more cut up than some of these bodybuilders on stage that seem to have like 980 different muscles. But when he comes out for his match, I mean, he looks like Mustafa Ali from last year. I mean, his physique hasn't changed all that much. His look hasn't changed all that much. I mean, they got rid of the LED lights and everything. It was nice to see him back. The problem is, it got such a light response. Now, it's no secret. We've been talking about it the last 4 to 6 weeks. And we said all along, you know, everybody online with this Free Ali movement, some people have good intentions. They feel that Ali being let out of his contract and maybe going to AEW for a fraction of the price, and then he has to Twitch, cameo, you know, hustle himself here, there, everywhere to make the same money he was making in WWE. You know, a lot of people online think they know what's best for Mustafa Ali. The fact of the matter is, Jeff Hardy was able to get out of his deal. And I said since day one, WWE is not going to start that trend that people could just, you know, walk out, go home, refuse to show up, go on Twitter and trash talk the company and then get released because of it. And I never, ever, ever expected him to return the way he did today, to almost no reaction. He did get a welcome back chant a few moments after, which was really, really cool. But that first immediate reaction, you hear the music, a lot of people forgot what the music was. The last time Ali wrestled was the end of October. He lost to Drew McIntyre. But then when his name popped on the screen, it still was like almost no reaction. And as I see him walking down, and people were there live. If you go on Twitter, look at some of their cell phone footage, because I saw it. And they said, wow, I'm shocked at the almost no reaction for him to come out. This goes to show you what Vince McMahon has said, what Nick Khan has said, what a lot of journalists have said, what other promoters have said, that the extremely loud noise on social media is just a fraction, a very tiny fraction of the overall fan base. You have a couple of thousand people, maybe 10, 20,000 people, that will yell at the top of their lungs, "Free Ali." You saw some people going like wacko and accusing WWE of holding a Muslim hostage. You've seen those ridiculous tweets. And so you realize now that the noise was not the majority. And you would have, as I'm watching him come out, all I keep thinking in my head is, "Free Ali, free Ali, free." There was none. No free Ali chance. I mean, it took quite a few people to get that welcome back chant going. And I got to be honest with you, I really believe that Mustafa Ali, based on social media, thought that the entire WWE universe was behind him, speaking out loud, energetic. Give him better. He deserves better. And when he went through that curtain and looked around and got like no reaction, I could only imagine what was going through his head. It must have been like, the fuck happened to all of you? What happened to all you? That noise online is this much of the actual audience. And it wreaked its ugly head tonight. And once again, that noise on social media, you do not take that advice. You don't take that advice. None of us, not even me, you, or anybody out there should be telling people where they should work, what they do with their money, how they prepare for their future, for their wife, their kids, their husband, their significant other. None of us have that right to do it. Ali, and I've said this a trillion times, I said it last night, Ali knew who he was signing with and what could happen by signing on that dotted line. That's why the guy kept taking the paychecks for 6 months and didn't just, look, sue me, I'll get a lawyer. I'm sure somebody would have put a GoFundMe online and it would have set the precedent, but Ali is smarter than that. Ali doesn't want to hurt his chances, get a reputation, possibly get blackballed by other promoters. Like, look at what he did to WWE. If he did that to WWE, why wouldn't he do it to me? The man is a responsible man, and the man held out, and WWE got him back. Welcome back, Mustafa Ali. I know there's a lot of good people out there that truly want to see you do well, but all that noise, it amounted pretty much to nothing. It amounted to nothing, but it was cool because he got to face The Miz again. You know, I think people need to stop disrespecting The Miz. The Miz has had a stellar career. Maybe not top tier, but just a step underneath. Old, reliable, still can do it. You know, he had the match with Cody, and people are making it sound like it's a step below. But I guarantee you, if Cody would have decided, you know, I'm going to stay in AEW, and his first return match in AEW is against Brock Anderson, people would have fucking popped. This is awesome. This is all, look at him elevating the son of a Hall of Famer. What, that just shows you how unselfish Cody is. He doesn't need to fight main eventers. He will go out there and he will fight the common man. He doesn't forget where he came from. Huh? You know you would have heard all that. So to see The Miz doing the favors for Mustafa Ali, I think it was Bully Ray tonight, said something fabulous. Bully Ray says that the best heels that have ever been in the business are the ones that could lose night after night after night and yet lose no heat whatsoever. They keep their heat. They could lose every match and still keep their heat. And that's what Miz does. So I'm a Miz fan. Not the biggest Miz fan, but that guy definitely has a huge worth in WWE. And it was cool to see. I tell you, I thought the segment was hilarious. You know, I know we're going back and forth a little bit, but we had Miz TV. And The Miz was interviewing Austin Theory. And it was funny because I watched a couple of websites that were reported in the last 24 hours that Mustafa Ali was going to be returning. And then earlier today, a bunch of websites were reporting that Mustafa Ali was going to take on The Miz. When The Miz came out and they announced Miz TV, some of these websites jumped the gun and thought that that match got squashed. And I saw people on Twitter making excuses that WWE changed plans last minute for Mustafa Ali. Instead of just sitting back, watching the freaking segment, and see where it goes. So, sure enough, when Mustafa, they deleted a whole bunch of tweets. They're gone. And then when Ali came out to confront Miz and Austin Theory, they had to write brand new stuff. Instead of just sitting back and enjoying it. So, what ends up happening is we have Austin Theory, you know, gloating about being the United States champion when everything right now he is the youngest United States champion, but at the end of the day he will be the United States champion. Miz is trying to give a little bit of advice to Austin Theory that there's going to be people out there who are going to demand, and you don't just give, you know, you're the champion, it's not, and this brings out Ali. And they exchanged a bunch of insults. Miz goes to Ali and he says, "You still work here?" And then Austin Theory says, "Aren't you the guy that took his ball and went home?" And then The Miz with one of the funniest lines of the night. That's not Mustafa Ali. That's not Mustafa. That's Mufasa. That is Mustafa Ali's younger brother. And I thought that was fucking hilarious. You know, and then obviously some of the scripted comedy. You know, Ali is saying, "Oh, Miz, if I want to laugh, I'll watch you wrestle." Yuck, yuck, yuck. And then Ali issues a challenge to Austin Theory. Austin Theory says no. Ali accuses Austin Theory of being all biceps and no balls. And what ends up happening is, I thought this was funny. Miz starts trash-talking Ali. And Miz is like, "Look, I don't have the power to make the matches here, but if I could right now, I mean, he didn't curse, but he pretty much said, I'd beat the shit out of you. I'll beat you so bad, you're going to wish you got your walking papers." So Austin Theory, who was not on camera when this was going on, Austin Theory goes back on the camera with his phone. He's like, "No, Miz, I got you in a match. I got you what you want. I just text Vince McMahon, and Vince McMahon made the match." And Miz is like, "What did you just do?" And Theory's like, "You just said that if you had the power, so I text Vince." That was funny, man. So what ends up happening is Miz and Mustafa Ali, they have a decent match, typical Raw match, Mustafa Ali with the fruit roll-up. And as Mustafa Ali is going up the rampway after he won, he's walking backwards. You know, he's just keeping eyes locked in on The Miz, and he's walking back slowly. And now we think, oh, wait a minute. We're going to have Austin Theory versus Ali at WrestleMania Backlash. You know they're not taking the title off of Ali this quickly. So do I really want to see Theory versus Ali right now? No, because there's no way that Ali's winning the belt. Then out of nowhere, whack. Ciampa. You can't call him Tommaso anymore, everyone. From now on, Tommaso Ciampa, yes, he follows the footsteps of Theory. No longer has a first name. For the foreseeable future, Tommaso Ciampa will be known simply as Ciampa. Ciampa. Ciampa lays out Mustafa Ali. No explanation, no promo, no nothing. He just knocks him out, stands over him, and then we go to a backstage talking segment with Rhea Ripley. So now it seems like we will get Ciampa versus Mustafa Ali likely at WrestleMania Backlash. Maybe it's next week. I don't know. But that's pretty good because it kind of immediately takes the shift away from Theory versus Mustafa Ali. Listen, guys, for any of you out there that do not watch NXT, Ciampa as a heel is fucking top-notch. He is awesome as a heel. He actually might do better on the main roster as a heel than a babyface. So don't underestimate, you know, Ciampa and what he could do as a heel. So, and you know what? Probably Ciampa will end up doing the favors for Mustafa Ali. So, by the way, a cool announcement. Tomorrow's NXT watch party, I am proud to announce we don't have to do private invitations anymore. The watch parties now are open to everyone. Now, obviously, I moderate, so if anybody, you know, tries to go into business for themselves, they're banned, blocked, and gone forever. And we're also going to do a contest. We're going to give away something really, really cool next week for anybody that's going to be on the stage. So tomorrow on Patreon, on YouTube, and on Twitter, I'm going to post the link publicly. Now, unfortunately, for those that live outside the United States, if your TV provider is not online, which means like you can't log in online to watch, you know, WWE programming online, you would not be able to be part of the watch party. But everyone else, like if you're part of like Spectrum or YouTube TV or anything else, you could do it. So that'll be tomorrow. So I hope everybody could join me. All right. Some other news. We had earlier today, and this will lead, I guess, to Super Chat that came in tonight. We had Edge and Damian Priest. Now, I hope everybody out there now can see what WWE is doing. Like, you know, a lot of people don't understand blue lighting. We talked about it for a few moments last week and a week before. You know, when you have fluorescent lighting and the blue lighting, you could actually manipulate what you could see. If anybody's ever gone to a night, if you ever gone to midnight bowling, you know, and they have certain lighting, you know, everything lights up certain ways. You know, Damian Priest didn't suddenly grow a mohawk for anybody that's looking at this picture. And yeah, no, there's nothing wrong with Edge's face. But based on the colors and the lighting and how they do it, yeah, they could kind of manipulate what your face looks like. But I love the entrance. Edge sits in a chair, and it's like the opposite of Cody coming up from under the floor. Edge doesn't come up from under the floor. Edge just goes straight. They have the chair moving straight. You know, not the whole rampway. It goes probably about 30 feet. You know, put it this way. If you ever saw somebody with like a battery-operated wheelchair and the batteries are about to die and the wheelchair starts going like a half a mile an hour, that's pretty much what it looked like with Edge tonight. But Edge, he comes out with Damian Priest. First, they cut a promo in the back, and Edge is talking about how he puts down the local Tennessee college football team. He puts down the crowd, puts down AJ Styles. And then Damian Priest announces that he's going to be facing Finn Balor later on in the night. And Finn Balor will be facing Judgment Day. For those that don't know, that is the name of Edge's new faction. It is called Judgment Day. Now, I'm not going to lie. My first immediate reaction was, I know that there's history because of Judgment Day 2009. Remember I showed you that poster from 09? Edge with the scale, Judgment Day 09? Okay, I know there's history there. My immediate reaction was, as a faction? Then I thought about it for a few moments. So I'm like, you know what? That actually isn't bad. It isn't bad. Everybody, they're the Judgment Day. This is your Judgment Day. So anybody that crossed paths with Edge and Damian Priest right now, they are facing their Judgment Day. So I kind of like it. I kind of like it. I can't knock it at all. And by the way, if you all are interested, that is the WrestleMania Backlash poster that I got today. And Edge with the red eyes. I love this poster, man. That just looks awesome. Edge just, I tell you, man, a little artwork here and there, that man looks evil. I mean, I know, you know, when he has that angry look on his face, he looks evil, but this looks sinister. I mean, I know Brody King thought he was cute a month ago in what he said. I think he really should have shut up. I really think he should have, because it's nothing like the House of Black. And the House of Black is not original either. Now, Finn Balor, unfortunately, lost to Damian Priest like that. Now, I'm going to show you a picture, and then I'll answer a super chat that came up. Both have to do with Finn Balor. Over the weekend, Finn Balor posted this photo on social media. For those with audio only, it's him sitting in a ring. It's a black and white photo. It's him sitting in the ring, looking down, looking a little bit, maybe dejected somewhat. And alongside of him, to his left and his right, are his trophies and his titles that he has won throughout his career. And in the background, there is a very light silhouette of the Bullet Club. And a lot of people thinking he's going to be released, thinking that last week was his final match in WWE. And if you look on my Twitter, you know, I had someone ask me yesterday, hey, DT, what do you think about this picture? And, you know, I realize if you give too logical an answer, nobody's going to respond back to it. I should have just said, oh, I hope he fucking goes to AEW. There would have been 1,000 likes attached to it. But what I wrote was, I think he's reminiscing. I think he's reflecting. And I think that the idea that we talked about for a few weeks could very well happen. What I have been saying for a month now, and this super chat came in tonight, and I will answer it because it kind of leads into what we talked about. From Tommy D with the 20 spot. DT, I know you've been saying for weeks that Finn Balor should join Edge and Damian Priest. After what happened tonight on Raw, do I still think that could still happen? Yes, it can. Yes, it can. I would not have wanted Edge to walk up to the ring and Finn Balor gets up and he looks and Edge is like this. And he helps Finn Balor get up. And then Edge. Now, if you close your eyes and picture that, it actually doesn't sound bad. But for Finn Balor, I wouldn't want to see that happen on TV. You know, when Damian Priest won, he went back to Edge, genuflected on his knee, got Edge's approval. Edge with the sinister laugh, fade to black. You don't see Finn Balor at all. Now, for all we know, Finn Balor could end up being released after tonight. We don't know. But I personally think what I said for the last couple of weeks, if there was ever a time to do it, you do it now. Unless You go with the tag team match that I said a few weeks ago. Edge and Damian Priest versus AJ Styles and Finn Balor. And Finn Balor turns on AJ Styles, beats the fuck out of him. Finn Balor turns around and pledges his allegiance to Edge and Damian Priest. Finn Balor goes to the dark side, doesn't necessarily have to paint his face, but a morph of Finn Balor, dark side, and in that group, I love it. It gives so many new opponents for Finn Balor because you don't normally see Finn Balor wrestling baby faces. You do get it once in a blue moon. But Edge is more of a manager right now. Edge will wrestle. He's wrestling at Backlash. But Edge, in many cases, will also manage. Kind of sounds like LA Knight to a certain extent. So you give Damian Priest a partner where they can team up. And who knows, they may catch fire and they could be your next tag team champions way down the line. I still think it could happen. And if there was ever a time for it to happen, it should happen within the next week or two. At the latest, at WrestleMania Backlash. Yeah, I could definitely still see Finn Balor doing that. Absolutely. Absolutely. I hope it happens. Yeah, the pay-per-view is May 8th. Yeah, May 8th. So Finn Balor loses, Damian Priest, just like that. All right, let's fill in the blanks with tonight's Raw, because tonight was the 20-year anniversary. 20 years ago today, Randy Orton made his WWE televised debut, defeating Hardcore Holly in an upset. 20 years ago today. Another statistic that nobody talks about, I don't think, well, I shouldn't say it like that, because I certainly didn't talk about it because I had no idea. Today was also Randy Orton's 1,000th TV appearance for WWE. Today marked 1,000 times Randy Orton has crossed our television. You can't count commercials aired during other shows. 1,000 times. Also today is the 500th episode of Main Event. And by the way, the Main Event results tonight, it was Liv Morgan over Nikki Ash and the Street Profits over Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin. You know, as we talked about yesterday, we said yesterday, it seems like the Street Profits are going to be the first in line to feud with whoever becomes the Unified Champions. And my gut feeling is it's going to be the Usos having those belts. And the Usos and the Street Profits, you know, as we said yesterday, that is probably the one big positive about having Unified Tag Team champs right now, that they appear on both brands. So if you want to see the Usos face a team on Raw, good. If somebody on SmackDown catches fire and you want to see the Usos face a SmackDown tag team, good. You can have both. You could have your cake and eat it too. So tonight they were celebrating Randy Orton 20 years, 20 anniversary. They were in Knoxville, Tennessee. Glenn Jacobs, obviously the mayor. If you didn't see it yet, you got to go online. There's a funny segment where he's talking to Ezekiel. And Ezekiel's introducing himself to Glenn Jacobs. And Ezekiel says, Kane, you know, I wanted to introduce myself. I am Ezekiel, Elias' younger brother. And Kane looks at him. He's like, I'm not Kane. I'm Glenn Jacobs. So they were doing it back and forth. Kane is like, you're Elias. And Elias is like, no, I'm Ezekiel. You're Kane. No, I'm not Kane. I'm Glenn Jacobs. It was funny. You got to go see it. So we open up Raw. Rollins is sitting at the announcer's table. This was cool and a little weird at the same time. I'll tell you why. You go back and watch it. You'll see what I'm talking about. Seth Rollins is at the announcer's table. A whole plethora of WWE stars, heels and baby faces, are at ringside. Riddle is in the middle of the ring. He welcomes us to Raw, pays tribute to Randy Orton. They show a video package. They show Randy Orton's first ever win against Hardcore Holly. They show different phases of Randy Orton's 20-year career. We see some clips of Evolution, him as the Legend Killer, the Viper, RKO, rated RKO. Nice montage through the years, ending with footage of what we get today with him and Riddle. Riddle then gets back on the mic, introduces Randy Orton. Randy is coming up the rampway, big smile on his face. Everybody clapping, showing respect for Randy Orton. The heels showing respect for Randy Orton. The one that I noticed right away was Veer. Veer actually, you know, went like this to Randy Orton. You know, and it, like I said, it was cool to see some break character, but there was something weird after. I'll get to it. So Randy Orton gets on the mic. He says to everyone, look, I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. Over the weekend, he made a remark. He said, Roman Reigns will be in Hollywood down the line. I will still be here. He reflects on his career. He gives props to Triple H, John Cena, Ric Flair, The Undertaker, Mick Foley. Goes out of his way for Mick Foley. I don't think it's a shot on Undertaker for forgetting Foley in his speech, the Hall of Fame. I think The Undertaker was an honest oversight. Remember what I said on one of the, some of you aren't on Patreon, but I said that if Undertaker does launch this podcast and it appears on Peacock, do not be surprised if Mick Foley is one of the first guests. Might not be the first one, but he's going to be one of the first guests. And I guarantee you, Undertaker is going to publicly apologize to Mick Foley for forgetting to mention his name at the Hall of Fame. They will make good on this. Randy Orton went out of his way and said today that Mick Foley is the reason why Randy Orton became the Legend Killer. He hugs Riddle, gives props to the WWE Universe. If it wasn't for the WWE Universe, there'd be no Apex Predator, there'd be no Legend Killer, there'd be no Viper. So now Riddle's got a surprise. It's going to bring out a friend of Randy Orton's, someone who, you know, looks up to Randy Orton, and it's Cody Rhodes. This is where it got a little weird. As Cody Rhodes walked past some of the heels, Veer clapping for Cody Rhodes. And, you know, like I said, yeah, I could see breaking character for Randy Orton, but to watch some of the heels just acting like, you know, oh, yeah, cool. I don't know. That was a little bizarro. So Cody gets in the ring. We get Cody and Randy Orton hugging each other a little bit. And this leads to Seth Rollins hit the ring. He is laughing it up. He's healing it up. This leads to Ezekiel getting in the ring. He gives props to Randy Orton. Kevin Owens interrupts. He interrupts Ezekiel. He says, how dare you? This is how you pay tribute to Randy Orton? You're a liar. And you're lying right now. And that's how you pay tribute? So now you see what's coming. A lot of people online thought it was going to be the Usos versus Cody and Randy Orton. It's the main event tonight. But we got a little bit more. The Usos come out. They mention how they were 15 years old when Randy Orton first started. So if you do the math, they're 35. Jay asks Jimmy if he's got a favorite Randy Orton moment, and their favorite moment is them taking their tag team titles at WrestleMania Backlash to become the Unified Tag Team Champions. So this sparks Kevin Owens to take a shot at Ezekiel. Kevin Owens is RKO'd by Randy Orton. Adam Pearce comes out and announces we're going to have a 8-man tag team match to main event Raw tonight. It's going to be Cody Rhodes, Ezekiel, and RK-Bro versus the Usos, Seth Rollins, and Kevin Owens. So that is our main event for tonight. Nice main event to look forward to. So, we then get the women's title match, Bianca Belair defeating Sonya Deville. Now, how this all went down, you know, we've seen things like this before. Bianca Belair throws Sonya Deville over the announcer's table. Sonya Deville gets counted out. She gets on the mic because she's authority and there's water all over the floor. She slipped and she restarts the match. She ends up using a chair, gets disqualified. She gets on the microphone. Bianca used her hair first. She used an illegal object first. So the match restarts again, but this time it'll be no disqualification, no count out. Then we see Queen Zelina and Carmella walk down the rampway. And I know a lot of you thought like I did, wait, didn't they like beat the crap out of each other 2 weeks ago? Aren't they like no longer a team? Like, why are they working together? So Carmella, Queen Zelina, Sonya Deville, 3-on-1. We get mostly a commercial break. They come back and the match pretty much ends quickly. Bianca Belair takes out Carmella, takes out Queen Zelina. Sonya Deville ends up in a corner, eats a chair, and Bianca hits the KOD on Sonya Deville, gets the win, and Bianca Belair is still your champion. Sonya Deville walking up the rampway, very pissed off. Later on, we get a backstage segment where Zelina and Carmella are arguing with each other. All right. Still doesn't make sense why they came out together as if nothing happened. But then it's explained. Sonya Deville apparently told them, help me, and if I get the championship, you will get a women's tag team title shot again. But they failed. So Zelina gets in Sonya Deville's face, and before Zelina could really say anything, Sonya Deville slaps Zelina really hard. If you look closely, Zelina says under her breath, Bendejo. Carmella goes to hit Sonya Deville in return. Sonya Deville stops her. And as soon as Carmella starts jawjacking at Sonya Deville, Sonya Deville slaps Carmella, knocks her right on her ass. So that's pretty much why they were together. All right. So now we get the Edge promo we said earlier, putting down the crowd, the Tennessee football team. Damian Priest announcing that Finn Balor will meet his judgment day later on. And as we saw, Damian Priest made quick work of Finn Balor. If you notice, Finn Balor is now using Edge's finisher, modified version of it. Because remember, Damian Priest's finisher looked a lot like Crossroads. So Damian Priest tweaked his finisher so Cody would have Crossroads. You know, that's one thing I do like about promotions. You know, you want everybody to have an individual signature move, but, and that doesn't happen if you notice in AEW, you see multiple people using the same move as a finisher. By the way, a little trivia. I'll give a shout out to the first person who gets it right. In fact, you know what? Why are we being cheap? T-shirt, your choice. Any Fed, any promotion, just don't ask for breakfast soup T-shirts. They will be discontinued any day now. So, but here's a little trivia question for everybody who's live. First person in the chat room that types it right will get a shirt. Judgment Day. That is the name of Edge's new faction. Obviously, Judgment Day was the name of a pay-per-view. Name me another WWE pay-per-view that was also the name of a faction. First person that types it right gets it. Should be pretty easy. I don't think there was WWE Four Horsemen. Well, no. You can't. Okay, Gregory got it. You can't use the NWO because it was called No Way Out. If they would have just said the WWF presents NWO, that's different. That's the initials, but no, that was No Way Out. The name of the faction was not No Way Out. It was, Gregory got it right, Gregory A23. It was D-Generation X. That was one of those in-your-house pay-per-views. WWF presents D-Generation X. That is legit. So my friend, email me, dontony@dontony.com, or send me a DM on Twitter, @DonTonyD, and I'll hook you up.
I'll hook you up.
All right. So Veer Mahan beats Sam Smothers. And for the record, I tried to do some research on Sam Smothers. That is not his wrestling name. Maybe by tomorrow I'll have it. But I looked everywhere. Whoever that guy was, he is not named Sam Smothers in indie wrestling. So after Veer beat him, obviously he continues his assault, hits him with the cervical clutch on the announcer's table. You know, Veer being Veer. All right. Sergio, I'm sure you know what's going on. But if you don't know what's going on, Mish is no longer on the show. My days of having regular co-hosts are done. However, let's make it a little quick announcement. I mentioned it on Thursday, and I know not every single one of you tune into the Thursday show, so you're probably not even aware of it. Now, some people thought they were cute accusing me of doing this to try to cover or lower the pain from what happened last Monday. Fact of the matter is, I reached out to this professional wrestler weeks ago. And if needed, he would be more than happy to tell everyone that I am telling the truth. The podcast Forbidden Door 1 was yours truly and Jason Solomonster. Podcast Forbidden Door 2 was yours truly and Joe Cronin. Podcast Forbidden Door 3 is now set. It is now set. We don't have the date yet. It will happen in June. I am happy to announce for everybody that's been asking for it. One night in June. It is only one night only. Don't ask me about a return into Monday nights. This is one night only. And for people that are going to push that narrative, this is why I don't want to do things with co-hosts, because people just enjoy it. Enjoy it. It's one night. Returning for one night in June. It's covered up. All right, let me fix that, because Bianca Belair and, they did the run-in. Let me take that off the screen. Hold on. Here we go. All right, there we go. For one night in June, the Don Tony and Kevin Castle show will return for one night only, one night only, one night only. People push the issue. There will be no night only. But we will not be alone that night. On that show also, joining us will be the third member of the DTKC show, and that is Killer Cross. Hey. Is that a good thumbnail? I feel like that nerd that does the food reviews. This is Food Reviews. I am the review of the week. This is, you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. Would Scarlett show up? I don't know. I mean, if he's doing it from his home and she happens to be there, if she wants to hang out, talk. You know, what's going to be cool about this, we're not going to sit here and say, what made you get into the wrestling business? You know, we're going to have just casual conversation. It's going to be a fun show. It's not going to be an interview. So just be prepared for that. Look out for it. Mark it on your calendar. All right. So now we get back to Raw. Omos and Bobby Lashley. All right. They were hyping up all week the arm wrestling challenge. You know what's funny? I resist it because I realize it hurts algorithm numbers. A lot of people don't understand that. You know, people have said to me, oh, DT, why are your views so low on YouTube? And I say all the time, that's because 90% of my whole audience accesses the audio shows. They don't need to see my face. If I say something or I show something and they really are interested, they can go check out the video after later on. And I get some other people, hey, you know, there's all these websites. You pay people money and, you know, they'll boost up your numbers. I'm like, I don't need that. I don't want that. You know, I want to know legitimately. I'm doing this 25 years. I want to know who my audience really is. So I saw, like, people tonight podcasting journalist saying, oh, could you? I can't wait to see how many YouTube views the arm wrestling challenge has. Can you imagine all the YouTube views? They're going to be millions and millions of views. Motherfucker, you don't know if those are coming from India. You know if they're coming from fucking some bullshit website, you know? And when people say, why are you saying India? Because there's companies online that do all this scam stuff. I'm not just singling out India, but there's other companies, areas that do it as well. They do it in England. I don't know if they do it in the United States, but I don't pay attention to numbers like that because you don't know how many of it is legit or not. So the arm wrestling challenge goes down, and I got to be honest with you. I enjoyed every minute of it. You know why? Because if you blinked, you missed it. It was extremely fast. MVP, trash-talking, Bobby Lashley. First, he puts down Knoxville. He puts down Bobby Lashley. They set up in the middle of the ring. And literally, immediately, you got Bobby Lashley and Omos locking up. And I guess MVP insults was Bobby Lashley's cue. Because they were pretty even with the arm wrestling. And then MVP starts trash-talking Bobby Lashley. Bobby, you are nothing without me. Absolutely nothing. As soon as he did that, Lashley gets pissed off, and the arm starts going in Bobby Lashley's favor. Omos gets it back a little bit. We're right back almost even. And then MVP starts trash-talking Bobby Lashley once again. And then Bobby Lashley gets pissed again. This time he does beat Omos. So Bobby Lashley defeats Omos in the arm wrestling contest. And then it was weird because they had the camera focused on Lashley. And Lashley kept doing this. Because you knew Omos was going to nail him. So MVP goes to hit Bobby Lashley with his cane. Bobby turns around. So MVP's like, I'm not doing nothing. Then it's when Omos nails Lashley, and he takes the table from the arm wrestling, and he's smashing it in Bobby Lashley's chest, his shoulder. Then we get, you know, MVP on the mic as Lashley is laid out. He says, and that, there is your almighty. Later on, MVP announces that Omos has challenged Bobby Lashley to a match at WrestleMania Backlash. So tonight was not about the brawn. It was about the brains. That's what MVP said. So now those two are going to have a rematch at WrestleMania Backlash. Will Omos beat him? I haven't thought about it yet. Reggie and Dana Brooke, they lost to Akira Tozawa and Tamina Snuka in a mixed tag match. R-Truth was a special guest referee. After the match was over, there was a little shenanigans. R-Truth tried to pin Dana Brooke and steal the 24-7 title. She escaped. She broke out of two because he was the referee, so he's pinning for himself. Why would he stop? That's the funny thing about it. Dana Brooke kicked out, but he could have just kept pinning the three. But Dana leaves the ring. I trusted you, Truth. I trusted you. I don't think anybody cared. Becky Lynch, she comes out looking extremely dejected. She talks about 3 years. 3 years since I've walked out on Raw without my championship. She's talking about herself in the third person. I don't know what Becky Lynch is without that title. I've hit rock bottom. But then she gets excited. Because if she's hit rock bottom, then there's only one place to go, and that is up. This is the beginning of the Becky Lynch comeback. I am going to be like an arrow and go, pew! She actually did that. She actually did, once again, the Gollum. Remember that?
My precious!
Does it sound like him at all? I don't even know. I watched it when I took it in the movies one time. Because you remember my impersonation of Abyss.
The ring! The ring! They're coming! The ring!
That's where my Gollum came from. That's where my Gollum came from. I watched that and I see this alien thing.
My precious!
Becky Lynch actually did that tonight. She says, I'm going to get back my precious. She's going to regain her title and she is going to reign forever. And here comes the return of Asuka. Asuka is back. Looks exactly the same as before. She gets on the microphone and she says, I will stop you because nobody is ready for Asuka. Asuka takes the microphone, throws it into Becky. Becky goes for a cheap shot. Asuka ducks it, tries to nail one of her own. Becky gets out of dodge. So we have Becky Lynch and Asuka to come up. I sound like Snarf from Thundercats. I got to look online. I'm scaring the kids. Good. I don't think any kid should be listening to my shit. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. My only gripe about Becky's return is why would she not come out during Bianca Belair? I understand Sonya Deville is authority. Sonya Deville made it no DQ. They should have done something with Sonya Deville, you know, like banned her. I know it doesn't make sense. But why would Becky just sit in the back and allow Bianca to regain, you know, to retain her championship? That was the only issue I had with that. But it was a good segment. I enjoyed it very, very much. All right. So I'm looking. I think, okay. Rhea Ripley cuts a promo and she says what I opened up with tonight. I did a play on words because I guarantee you when I opened up tonight, somebody thought I was taking shots at former co-hosts. I am not going to take shots. The drama, save the drama for your mama. I'm not interested. But Rhea Ripley is saying, you know, she's done with partners. She came to Raw and she's aligned herself with people who keep bringing her down. And she's done with it. Here comes Liv Morgan. Attacks Rhea Ripley, and we may get Liv Morgan versus Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania Backlash. I don't know if that'll happen, but it could. It could. And this leads to the main event. Randy Orton, Riddle, Cody Rhodes, and Ezekiel, they defeat Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins, and the Usos. This was a typical Raw match. Riddle getting the shit knocked out of him for a good portion of the match. We had a lot of teasing with Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. It was a very fun match. But because of Randy Orton 20-year anniversary, and look, I don't get into these debates online that Kenny Omega's had a more stellar career than Randy Orton and this and that. It's ridiculous when people do that. You know, just appreciate both. You know, if you're so confident, you know, this goes back to 2006. You know, I will call out other people who say some ridiculous things or push agendas as news. I will definitely bring that up every time on my shows. But as far as mocking and putting down other shows specifically just for the fun of it, you know, back in 2006, someone had said to me, they said, DT, you know, have people tune into your stuff, not because other people are bad, but because you're good. And that's the big difference here. You know, if you're so confident that Kenny Omega's had a spectacular career, why do you have to bring down Randy Orton in an attempt to bolster Omega's career even more? You know, yes, people can have spectacular careers and they don't have to be compared to each other. But this 8-man tag was fun, but this was a celebration for Randy Orton 20 years. I got news for you. As this match was going on, you knew Randy was getting the pin. You knew that the babyface were getting the win tonight. But I ask you this. You know, you go back maybe 20 years. Shawn Michaels when, and it's a little more than 20 years, but you go to Shawn Michaels, all right? And here's a legitimate question for everybody out there. You go to Shawn Michaels 20-some-odd years ago, if he would have never returned to the ring on any regular basis after his loss to Steve Austin at Mania, where Tyson was the special enforcer, if he would have never returned to wrestling on a regular basis, I don't know if Shawn Michaels would have been looked at as one of the utmost greatest of all time. But he came back, and he had some people enjoy his second run in the ring than more than his first. But you look, going to WrestleMania and when he retired, Shawn Michaels was one of the greatest that we ever saw hit the ring. Others, their careers were much shorter. You know, you look at someone like Kurt Angle and others, their careers obviously were a little bit shorter. But you look at John Cena, all right? John Cena, when he started doing the, you know, open challenge, I think that's where fans were really starting to get respect for Cena. You look at the matches he had back then, and he was really not just doing the gimmicky stuff. But John Cena, when everything is said and done for the longevity and everything else, John Cena is going to have one of the greatest careers as well. You look at CM Punk, you look at Bryan Danielson, you look at Kenny Omega, you look at Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho, to me, has, in the last 20 years, is got to be up there as well, top five. So I ask you, outside of Randy Orton, who's that next person? Maybe, is it going to be Edge? Now, look, Edge is one of the greatest that we have ever seen, as Christian and others, Jeff Hardy too. But you're talking about somebody who just is almost like, you know, Undertaker was larger than life. It was a character more than anything. Undertaker didn't have five-star matches. But who's that next person, even 10 years from now, that when they are in the ring, 20-year career, we're going to look at it and they're going to be on a level no one else is anywhere close? It's hard. It's really hard to think about. You know, it's really hard to say. There's a lot of stars that will have Hall of Fame resumes. But when you think about some of the very, very rare breed, 20-plus years in the ring, you look at Randy Orton. How many people have you seen have a 20-year career, and after 20 years, look physically as great as they did 20 years ago, better, also is even better at their game compared to 10 years ago, and no signs of slowing down? You know, it's pretty rare class. Randy Orton's in a class by himself. You really think about that. And the weird thing about it is we never thought that. We never thought that 10 years ago, Randy Orton, special guy. I always bring up when they first were coming up in 2001, Linda McMahon had that conference call. Oh, we have these two wrestlers coming up in our farm system. Their names are John Cena and Randy Orton. They are going to be the future of this company. That was a conference call that I covered on my hotline in 2001, a year before he debuted on the main roster. So tonight was about Randy Orton. And towards the end of the match, Randy Orton drops Jey Uso on a table outside the ring, the announcer's table. Seth Rollins tries to get at Randy Orton. Randy Orton dumps him on the announcer's table. He falls over to the floor. Kevin Owens tries to do it, and Randy Orton thumb to the eye, and Kevin Owens sells it like no other. Randy Orton dumps Kevin Owens on the announcer's table, and then he gets back in the ring. He hits the DDT to Jimmy Uso. And then we have Cody, you know, hitting a move. He nailed his a knee, I think, to Seth Rollins. We had Riddle hit a move on Jey Uso pretty much, or Jimmy Uso was the punching bag. He took a knee from Riddle. He took a shot from Cody. And what ends up happening is, you know, get a little upper hand and Jey Uso climbs the top rope, tries to hit the splash, and Randy Orton is there waiting to hit him with RKO. And, yeah, Joseph, as far as Randy Orton's antics from 20 years ago, yeah, people do make mistakes and they grow up from them. That's life. I mean, I don't condone some of the behavior that we have heard about, from, you know, women's bags to, you know, putting your hand down your pad. Yeah, I mean, some of it is disgusting. But, yeah, as you become an adult and you grow up, some people, it takes a little bit longer to grow up. But you don't crucify someone and, you know, hold it against them for the rest of their life, you know, because trust me, I guarantee you, you, me, and everybody else tuning in, we're not holier than thou. We have all done shit. And we would want people to think that we have grown and learned from mistakes and are better than that. That's why when I have people that say to me, oh, DT is so PC now, this and that. No, they'd rather me have this perception of being an asshole, a bigot, a racist, and all this other stuff online. That's the DT that they want to keep the perspective of. Oh, God forbid, DT is really was never that, not that bad of a guy. You know, I don't apologize for growing up a little bit and maturing and, you know, maybe mellowing out. You know, a couple of cancer scares will do that for you. A couple of parents who are very poor health will do that to you. Meeting someone and dating someone for 10 years who has a head on his shoulders, every time I giggle and do something stupid, she says to me, how old are you? When I used to tweet dumb shit, I've said this before, I used to tweet stuff and I used to be like laying in bed with her, nothing sexual, laying in bed watching TV, and I'll tweet something goofy, putting somebody down, and I'll say to her, hey, honey, look what I just wrote. And she'll read it. And she knows what I said, you know, definitely, you know, got somebody. But she looks at me, she's like, how old are you? What are you, 15? Those things will grow you up. So Randy Orton, I don't hold it against him. The people that he hurt, I hope he has apologized to them over the years. None of our business. But if he was still doing that stuff, I'm totally with you. Totally with you. So Randy Orton hits the RKO, gets the pin. We go off the air happy. And it was a really fun episode of Raw. It really was. I wish Mustafa Ali would have gotten a bigger reaction when he first came out. That was very disappointing. That was very disappointing. I mean, out of everything. Great to see Asuka back. You know, there was all these rumblings after Mania, after Mania, after Mania. It's going to happen. And it happened. Now we need Bayley. And I think it's happening. I think we will have Bayley back. Maybe not in time for WrestleMania Backlash, but I think we will have Bayley back within the next month or so. I think if you pay attention to her social media, she's teasing that she's coming back. I think she will be back sooner than later. Yeah, Asuka got a great reaction. Look, Asuka is one of the best. You know, when we talk about the best women's wrestlers in the last 10 years, I don't know why I still had Asuka on the screen. I should have had this on the screen, but you look at top women in the last 10 years, I put Asuka number two. I put Charlotte Flair number one. You know, even if people don't like Charlotte Flair, you have to admit she's got every tool. You know, she might be selfish in the ring, but she's got every tool. Asuka, unfortunately, she doesn't have the gift of gab. You could mumble and you could do one sentence here and there, but, you know, psychologically, you can't put someone down with just a catchphrase. So she's got to back it up in the ring, and she really does. So, I am a huge fan of Natty, but I do not put Natty in the top five. No. But she's great. She's absolutely great. All right. A couple other things, and we'll get out of here. I know a few people out there like posted like a picture or two, but I actually got a few others. Ezekiel Jackson. No, not Elias's younger brother. The other Ezekiel. What do they always say? The other white meat? No, this is the other dark meat. Remember Ezekiel Jackson? Last week he was on The Price is Right with his family. That is him on the left. Those are screenshots from the actual episode. I actually watched the episode last night. That is another screenshot. I believe that's his kids. I believe that's his kids. So he was on the Price is Right. So pretty cool. They lost. They got to the showcase showdown, but unfortunately, these people on the right, yeah, they won. But yeah, so if you're curious about Ezekiel Jackson, that is where he has been. So nice. Price is right. All right, ratings for this week. Couple of ratings for you. SmackDown this week did 1,952,000, a drop of almost 9%. Rampage went up 7% to 518, but remember last week they started at 7 p.m., not the normal time slot. This week will be the telltale. Impact went down 9% to 112. Dynamite went down almost 5% to 930. NXT went down almost 7% to 569, and last week's Raw went down almost 9% to 1,647. Honestly, last week was not a great week for wrestling and ratings. Want to blame it on the NBA? That's fine. But I always say it a little bit differently. If you are an AEW fan, that means that some of your fans felt basketball was more important than your live product. If you are a WWE fan, then NBA, some of your fans felt that NBA was more important to watch live than your wrestling product. That's what it comes down to. It's which one is must-see TV. That's what ratings are about. They don't blame excuses. Well, Survivor, that was back in that. Well, Survivor was on. Oh, Biden was on. Basketball was on. There was a shooting, an earthquake, a war. You know, I mean, I could understand, but, you know, it's just, okay, they're different. Some of them are different forms of entertainment. And your entertainment was not the majority of choice for your fans. That's what it says. All right. There was one other thing I wanted to... Oh, a couple of previews. Okay. First off, NXT this week. I'm sure this is going to please a lot of people out there. Yes, Nikita Lyons will be taking on Lash Legend. We have Solo Sikoa, who is going to be taking on Trick Williams. Obviously, that's going to set up the match for the following week, the three-way for the North American Championship. Solo Sikoa versus Carmelo Hayes versus Cameron Grimes. We're also going to have I don't know if it's going to be a tag team match with Legado del Fantasma and the Grimms, but I think it's probably just a straight-up tag team match. And we're also going to have Tony D'Angelo versus Zion Quinn. And as I said last week, guys, chat room, even when you post comment, I never said I wasn't a fan of Tony D'Angelo. I never said that I don't like him, and I never said that I was ragging on him. I'm talking about storyline. What they did last week, trust me, no one from La Nostra Familia, no one from this neighborhood, no one from this. You think the Sopranos? You think when the Sopranos were feuding with someone, hey, this Tony Super Sad. Oh my God, there's Tony Mozzarella. There's his truck outside. I know what we could do. Let's put a boot on his tire. No fucking person in the mafia puts a boot on a tire. You slash the tires. You piss in a gas tank. You key up the car. Nobody puts a boot. And even worse, if you put a dead fish on the car, you don't put newspaper underneath to protect it from the paint. No, you put the fish directly on the car. And you do it during the day, especially in Florida. You let the heat from the sun take that blood and the juices from the fish and get nice and deep into that paint. You don't line it with plastic bags and newspaper. That's pussy stuff. Talking sugar in the gas. You could do sugar in the gas. Put the banana in the tailpipe. You know? But I'm just talking storyline. I freaking love Tony D'Angelo's character. I have no problem with it. All right. Dynamite. this week. Here's the 10-man clusterfuck that we were preparing ourselves for. Adam Cole, the Young Bucks, and Red Dragon versus Dante Martin, the Varsity Blondes, Lee Johnson, and Brock Anderson. Gee, I wonder who the fuck is going to win that match. You got Lance Archer taking on Wardlow, which I actually believe is going to be a banger. But I think we know who the outcome of that match as well. I don't know how I feel about this one. Serena Deeb versus Hikaru Shida. Now, I know if I stop right there, people are going to be like, DT, what are you talking about? Serena Deeb is one of the most talented technical wrestlers, and Shida actually could back it up in the ring as well. Yeah, I agree. But it's a Philly street fight. As Jim Cornette would say, lazy booking. You have a high-profile women's match, and once again, you got a result to Singapore canes and tables and weapons. You know, that's how a lot of the women seem to be getting over in that company. Most of their T-shirts are based off of street fights than anything else. So I don't know if I would have. I mean, look, the way this feud has been, I mean, they're at each other's throats. Do a cage match. You know, do an I quit match. You know, do something like that. I don't know. You know, maybe because so many women have had these street fights in that company. I mean, I really can't complain all that much because I know Ronda Rousey and Charlotte are going to tear it up with the I quit match. And their Survivor Series match is one of my favorite of all time. So, yeah, maybe it's not going to be as bad as I think. And then we got Sammy Guevara, the man of the hour. He is going to defend the TNT Championship against Scorpio Sky in a ladder match. Expect crazy-ass spots. And, yeah, we'll probably see an appearance from Ty Conti. We might see a little smoochy going on as well. I love that they have turned, definitely. But for me, the match I'm looking forward to more than anything is Dax Harwood taking on his tag team partner, Cash Wheeler. And this is for the Owen Hart tournament qualifier. CM Punk will be on commentary for this match. I mean, there's going to be a lot of tributes to Bret Hart in this match. You'll see a little tribute to Owen. They will, obviously, because they are best buddies. They will be very respectful. You'll see a little bit of tension during the match. You'll see them get heated on each other. But once the match is over, you know, they will obviously shake hands and, you know, knowing AEW, what they'll probably do is they'll probably, as soon as the match is over, when they're about to, like, reconcile, and you'll have somebody come out. Somebody will come out, a heel, to try to distract it, and then, you know, that's how you take the focus away from there. Not a bad card. I mean, neither one is pretty good this week, so, but that's pretty much it. That is my show for tonight. So we are right at the 90-minute hour. So I am going to jet out of here. And I hope you enjoyed tonight's episode. I want to thank each and every one of you for, you know, just showing respect and appreciating, you know, what I do here. I do it for all of you. You know, and believe me, I give a major props to everyone out there who does this because everybody works hard. And I just thank you for all your support. I mean, that's what keeps me going. So it is very much appreciated. So here's the schedule for this week. Now, Wednesday Night Dynamite is not coming back this week. But I think starting next week, I think we're going to be bringing it back. This week, I will be on Patreon Wednesday night. So we will go back to Wednesday only because tomorrow night I'm spending it with my significant other. We have really not had like one day for just us. This weekend was just hectic, very hectic. But I will be on Patreon Wednesday night. And Thursday night, I will be back here for Q&A. The show will be available for everyone. Questions, you know, obviously our channel members get VIP treatment. They go first, but we will open the floor to everyone. And if you notice, we've tweaked that show over the last couple of months, you know, to make it, you know, not just a Q&A show, but great topics that everybody wants to hear and talk about. So it's been a lot of fun. Before I get out of here, I have a super chat that came in really quick, and no, I don't just answer them, but if I don't answer it, you know, You know what we could even do? I could stay about 10 minutes in the chat after this. Let me answer SRH John before we take other questions. Two women to look out for in 2023 or 2024 is Mariah May and Natalia Markova. Natalia Markova, I believe, is the House of Glory women's champion right now. And Mariah May, she looks a lot like Tiffany Stratton to me. They are both extremely talented. Natalia Markova, very interesting. I like her character. She might be a little bit further, developed. But Mariah May, yeah, that's a name that if she stays on the path that she's on right now, yeah, I could see 2024. Sure, absolutely. Those are definitely two good names. I cannot criticize either one. So, if any of you have any quick questions you want to ask, all I ask is in the chat room, write in capital letters, question, before your question. Because a lot of my friends out there are chatting with each other. And by putting question, I can actually read it quickly. Michael Gonzalez, favorite feud or moment of Randy Orton's career? Undertaker 2005. That was good for me. I enjoyed Legend Killer. I liked rated RKO as well. Legend Killer, for me, because he was so young, because there was so much jealousy, because of his disrespect for Harley Race and Mick Foley and others, we wanted to see him crucified. For me, I always loved the Legend Killer stuff. I mean, I wanted to like the Triple H stuff more. Believe it or not, their match in Saudi Arabia, I enjoyed a lot. The feud that he had with Triple H where he kissed Stephanie, I don't know, I didn't like that feud at all. But that's what comes to mind almost immediately. Okay, do I see Solo Sikoa joining the Bloodline? No, I don't. I mean, I know a lot of us wanted to see him immediately go to the main roster. The thing is, though, is the Bloodline, this is not a shot on Solo Sikoa. The Bloodline is about elite, no pun intended. It's about history, legacy, and success. Solo Sikoa is still looked at as a newbie on the block. So you have the Usos with their illustrious career. Randy Orton, Roman Reigns painting, a Picasso with his tribal chief character the last couple of years. And then you got Solo Sikoa. I don't think it would fit. Not right now. Maybe once they get brought down to earth a little bit and the titles are gone, then maybe you bring them in. But right now I say no. Garth, I can't join Odyssey. This was the funny thing. Like, a lot of people think that the deal that I announced 2 weeks ago about something with the video of my shows, that announcement is what led to where I'm at now doing the shows by myself. You know what the funniest thing about that announcement goes? I haven't signed the deal yet. I specifically said that night that they made an offer and I accepted it. And now I'm waiting for the papers to sign it. I have not signed anything. So until you sign papers, there is no deal. When you do sign contracts, you're obligated to a particular company. So unfortunately, right now, I can't. Rojo Bear, which AEW star would I'd like to see face Randy Orton right now? I'll pick somebody who has not been in WWE in recent years. I tell you the truth. I think him versus MJF would be pretty epic. I could just imagine the mic work going back and forth, the psychology involved. I mean, you have the Viper and then you got MJF, who was a rattlesnake himself. Oh, man. I think I'd freaking love to see that. That would probably be my first choice. Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about guys that have been there before, him versus Punk would be great. Bryan Danielson, if we get the Bryan Danielson of now, sure. But if you're going to, you know, maybe in a couple of years, I'd like to see Daniel Garcia versus him. But I could just picture Randy Orton giving MJF an RKO. Could you imagine, seriously, the way MJF is, can you imagine if Randy Orton gave MJF an RKO? Let's say MJF jumps off the top rope and Randy Orton hits him with an RKO and MJF doesn't sell it, just looks at Randy Orton and he's like, what are you doing? And he walks out of the ring. I mean, you'd be blackballed and banished and it would be career suicide, but I don't think MJF would do something like that. M-Hawk, I talked about this yesterday. Somebody asked this yesterday. Forbidden Door, the buy rate will be good. It will not be more than the Double or Nothing. Not even close. Because the New Japan wrestlers, think of what I said earlier about that noise about Free Ali. You realize now that that noise that took over social media is still a fraction, a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of the overall wrestling public. So the noise online talking about New Japan is a very, very small fraction of the overall wrestling fan. So a lot of wrestling fans that are not familiar with the New Japan names yet, a lot of them are going to be very hesitant of dropping $60 or $55 to see their favorite AEW stars fight Japanese wrestlers that most of them have just heard about. Listen, if New Japan was as popular as people try to portray it to be online within the United States, then how come they only get 45,000 viewers, 50,000 viewers on Access? Why do they only get 40,000 viewers? You know, it's going to take a few years. So you will get a good buy rate, but it's not going to be anywhere close of what Double or Nothing will be. Yeah, we did say, Charlie, earlier, I did mention Triple H earlier when Orton was paying tribute. Triple H is definitely a good opponent, a rivalry for Randy Orton throughout his career. Absolutely. Do I think AEW and WWE will collaborate in the next 5 years? No. Near? I don't think so. Business is business. And when you see WWE, publicly traded billion-dollar company, with the revenue stream that they get, and they turn around and they woo some existing AEW stars to join WWE, even if WWE overpays for some of them, you're going to see a lot of AEW fans take it personal. You will see some people within AEW take it very personal, and you will see accusations being thrown around that WWE is signing a whole bunch of AEW people so they can't work in AEW. Is going to be a lot of tension. There's a lot of fans out there right now, unfortunately, that still refuse to accept that AEW is just a business like WWE. Yes, they are run differently, but it's just a business. And for a lot of wrestlers, it's just a business. Dixie Carter had that major wake-up call years later. She never in a million years envisioned what happened. But we said that 10 years earlier, that that's what the case is. So when that starts going down and you have that aura, nah, there's going to be a lot more bitterness. And the sad thing is, it'll probably take a tragedy to see like people breaking bread and, you know, communicating with each other. So, all right, 5 more minutes and we'll call it. Do I think AEW stars invade New Japan as well? The only problem is it's a long way to go to Japan. You're not going to send AEW stars to go to Japan for a couple of run-ins and then come back to the States. I brought this up. I don't know if I brought it up yesterday. I think I brought it up Saturday. This is a great point, and it's definitely worth me bringing it up here. A lot of you don't. Actually, I did bring this up yesterday. A lot of you don't know this. But you see, like, Tomohiro Ishii took on Adam Cole. You know, he didn't come to the United States for Forbidden Door announcement, and that's it. If you notice, he wrestled, I think, on Impact. I think, well, I know he wrestled a couple other places. What a lot of people don't understand is that when you see like Minoru Suzuki come to AEW, you also see him in GCW. You also see him in Impact. You also see him here. You also see him there. Because what these companies do is Tony Khan doesn't want to pay for Minoru Suzuki's plane fare and hotel to come to the States and absorb all that. And then he works other promotions as well. So what will happen is Tony Khan will get in touch with GCW and say, look, Minoru Suzuki's coming in and he's available for a couple of days. How's about we split the plane fare? We'll pay for him to come in. You pay his share to fly back to Japan. You get another promotion and you split it. You split some of the hotel costs as well. When we used to, when I used to work with Frank Goodman with USA Pro Wrestling and UXW, and we would book wrestlers that were coming in and they were also working for other indie promotions in the tri-state area, we would work something out. Like, all right, how's this? We'll pay for Sean Waltman, his fare coming in. You're going to have him on your show. You pay for his hotel for the two nights. This other promotion's going to have him coming, you know, facing Amazing Red. I will have this promotion. You pay for his flight coming back to wherever he, you know, lives. That's how it works. So to AEW stars to go to Japan, unless they get to work for other promotions while they're there for a couple of days, that is an awful expensive, you know, route to go. So if you see New Japan stars invade here, I will bet you anything you want to bet that you will see those New Japan stars wrestling for a whole bunch of other promotions in the United States that same week. Then you realize there's no Forbidden Door. It's just, hey, we got Ishii for a week. Yeah, let's bring him in. All right, let's split this. Let's do that. That's how it works. That, and you know what? It's smart business for all parties involved. Shout out to everybody who is live. Everybody on the replay as well. But for everybody who is up late with me tonight, it is 12:47. I'm going to be jetting out in 2 minutes. Yeah, 20 years since Hogan came back, won the belt. Sure, sure. I mean, no way out. 2003, was it? Or 2002? I'm not saying he won the belt on that, but that whole era? Sure. Remember it clearly. Look, this summer's 20 years for Impact Wrestling. Even though they're not TNA anymore, but they celebrate the lineage, so it's 20 years for Impact Wrestling. Years fly by, man. Years fly by. Muhammad, 6:50 in the morning in Sweden right now where he is at. Trust me, even like there's nothing that wakes me up that early unless I like want to get something to drink or go to the bathroom. All right. I think we're going to wrap it up. I don't know what you're asking about house liens. I don't know. Near at 7:48 in the morning where he's at. Well, I'm going to wrap it up. We're in an hour and 45 minutes. So I will be back here on Thursday night. Now, we will start at 9:05 p.m. In fact, I might even tweak that to 8:05 in the future. You know, I'm going to leave it all up to all of you out there what starting time you want. I mean, I want consistency. You know, Saturday and Sunday is 8 o'clock. So Thursday, we'll keep it at 9:05 for now, but you know, maybe in the future we change that to 8. You know, this way it's a reasonable time for everybody involved. We'll see. We'll see. But this Thursday I'll be back here. If you're a member of our Patreon family, I will be on Patreon this Wednesday. And we'll have a fun show for sure. It'll be off the cuff, but I'm going to post a thread for everybody that wants to send in any questions. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Pretty much it. My favorite steak is filet mignon. I don't like fatty steaks. So I don't want to touch the Sonya topic with a 10-foot pole. I have no idea. I think Sonya Deville is extremely attractive. I've said that 1,000 times over in the past. You know, she's attractive. If that's what you're asking me, I did not watch Impact Rebellion yet. I am going to watch it on Wednesday. Going to watch it Wednesday, and I will definitely be talking about it on Thursday. I know they crowned 3 new champions, And I heard it was a really good event. So I will watch it Wednesday and we'll talk about it Thursday. So, all right, everybody, if you have any questions, I'll answer one more before we go, because this Sonya topic is apparently the buzz in the chat room. Does Sonya look bad continuing to go after black wrestlers with little or no explanation? Benjamin, that is ridiculous. She is working a storyline. If anything, you should be ecstatic that there are that many black women wrestlers on the roster. That if there were no black women wrestlers on the roster, do you say, why is she keep going after all the white women wrestlers on the roster? No, it just, that should tell you the progress of, you know, as far as black women in wrestling. I mean, it is awesome to see everybody, you know, not only getting there, but you know what? And this may be controversial, and I don't give a shit that it is, because I think people that are legitimately sincere know what I'm saying right now is not meant to be nasty at all. But I guarantee you that Bianca Belair, Sasha Banks, Naomi, and others, I think that they would rather look in the mirror and have a championship title or a moment at WrestleMania or be at the top of their game and look in the mirror at themselves and say, I made it because I worked my fucking ass off and I showed everybody that I matter and I can do it. Rather than someone look in the mirror and say, I did it because I'm black. I did it because I'm gay. I did it because I'm Democrat. I did it because I'm Republican. I did it because I'm a snowflake. I did it because I'm a Trumper. I think people want to be judged on their merit and not because of skin color all the time. So you should be happy. You should be happy that there are that many black women wrestlers that are that high on the food chain in wrestling, and they have earned it with their talent, not because of their skin color. That's my opinion. If you disagree with it, post your comments. So, all right, I am going to get out of here. I thank you very much for tuning in tonight. If you have any remaining questions that you wanted to ask me tonight, post it in the comment section, and I will be more than happy to answer them after the show. So as soon as I disconnect, the comment section should open up, post away, and I will answer away. So be well, everyone. On the way out, if you enjoyed tonight's show, hit that like button. Believe me when I tell you, it helps. It helps. I'm sure you hear every YouTube channel now saying it. Hit that like button. It helps with the algorithm. It really does. It really does. And when I have people ask me all the time, like, what could I do to help? Post a comment, you know, hit the like button, because that all that, when it builds, it sends a message to YouTube like, hey, you know, this is pretty good here. You know, I like it. I think you should maybe recommend it to others. So believe me, that's not talking points. That is honest. So, all right, everybody, be well. Good night. Ciao.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.